Hey guys, it's Albert. We're going to kick things off by giving you guys the conclusion to the participation trophy story. Then Connor and Jenny come in to break down a whole bunch of over-unders for the 2019 season. And as always, we wrap things up with a six-pack of your Twitter questions. Let's go. All right, welcome in. It's the MMQB podcast with Albert Breer. It's the final pre-vacation podcast for me. Quick update before we bring in Jenny and Connor. We're going to do things a little differently this week. My kid does have a new T-ball participation trophy. We were actually able to get one after the glue failed, after the epoxy failed. We're buddies, friends of ours are, you know, the dad is the coach for another team. Apparently he had four or five extras. So before we went away for a couple days for our anniversary, we drove over there. We picked up the trophy. And it's the same trophy that you guys might have seen on Instagram or Twitter. So that's the end of the story, Jenny and Connor. The story that we started last week, for everybody who listens every week, I wanted to give you guys the end of the story. That's the end of the story. My kid got his T-ball participation trophy.
Like the president, you seem to have an ability to create and destroy your own news cycle. So that's good.
You like that?
Yeah.
Pretty good,
go.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's over. That's over. Okay, so we're going to do things a little different this week. We're going to continue what we had intended to do about a month ago. We set you up with some over-under totals. We made our predictions for the 2019 season, and we're going to do that again right now, right here. Connor, you picked these teams. I think it's arbitrary, right? Like, we wanted to get to a total of 20 teams. Like, was there any method to doing this?
Sort of a real dartboard fashion, and I'm not a good darts player, so all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, there were some divisions that were halfway or three quarters of the way complete, so we figured we would complete those divisions. And then the rest were just kind of team. Some of these were teams of interest, such as the Raiders.
There it is. There. All right. So we're going to basically, like, I Googled to try to find the most recent over under totals that I could. That's oddshark.com. I believe that they did these on June 17th. So just a few days ago. We're going to go through, let's see, it's 11 teams today. Rapid fire, over under. I think these numbers are brand new to me. I think they're brand new to Jenny and Connor. So this is going to be a very natural reaction to what the number is. And Connor, Jenny, we'll start with the Buffalo Bills. The over-under number for the Buffalo Bills, 7. You guys going over or under?
Under. That feels like a very generous over-under for the Bills. I'm shocked it's so high.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, I just don't think Josh Allen's going to get there. I mean, the offensive line, they did some work there, but not nearly enough. The average age of your running backs are 41, you know, so I think that there's a lot of problems there.
41. Just slip that in there, Connor.
Do you guys think, like, I think that this has to do with their division. I think that's why the number is 7. Someone has to finish second in the AFC East, right?
I think the Jets will finish second.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay. So I think if you want to look at the other over under numbers here, we've got the Jets are also at 7 and the Dolphins are at 5. And so what Vegas is telling us here is that you've got the Jets and you've got the Bills and they've got an even shot at finishing second. I'm going to go I like a lot of what the Bills are doing, and I think this is an example of Vegas getting it right. I think they'll be right around 7-9. I'll go with you guys. I'll take the under there. All right, the Dallas Cowboys. So they've got a lot of business to do off the field. They've still got to try to take care of Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott. They've got some guys on the defensive side of the ball whose contracts are coming up. Obviously, they took care of DeMarcus Lawrence, but Byron Jones is going into the final year of his rookie deal. Eventually, they're going to have to take care of those linebackers. Their number, I was surprised. This seems low to me. 8.5. What do you guys got?
Same. I agree. I think it's an over as well. I mean, they were a 10-6 team last year, and I think they'll have the potential to be better this year. The last time, I felt like the numbers were very difficult because they were right at what we expected.
Yeah.
And this week, it feels a little bit easier.
Interesting. I'm going under.
You're going under? Okay.
I'm going
okay.
under. I'm going 8-8 for Dallas. In my or projections for that division, I do have the Giants finishing ahead of that. I have Dallas finishing third.
Would you say that it's something like a projector screen?
Projector.
Do you think that the only thing that I'm talented at in life is making puns with your last name? Because I think there's a strong possibility that's true. I would say I'm pretty good at it.
I think you're exceptionally talented at a lot of things.
Oh, no. But
that is one of the things you're exceptionally
talented
at.
Thank you, Connor. You're elite at that.
Thank you.
You're elite at that.
It's nice to feel recognized.
So I feel like this is a little similar to Buffalo in that it like so much hinges on the quarterback, right? Like, so I think with Buffalo, so much hinges, because I think they've done a lot of things right around the quarterback. So much hinges on what happens with Josh Allen. And the Cowboys, it sort of feels the same. Like, you look at their roster, there aren't a ton of holes. Like, I think going into last year, you would have said, okay, like, tight end, receiver, what are they going to do? They acquire Amari Cooper. They've obviously brought Jason Witten back. We'll see how that turns out. I think a lot of this depends on where you think Dak Prescott's going to be in a year. And I really think that the one just sort of underrated storyline here is what Kellen Moore becomes as the offensive coordinator, because that was a there was risk involved in elevating him the way that they did, and in taking him, a guy who was a player just a couple of years ago, and making him the play caller. And I think that this was the Cowboys' way of trying to balance keeping Jason Garrett, like, in all the things they like about Jason Garrett, and part of this is Jerry Jones's ego, because he views Jason Garrett as sort of his creation, right? So, like, being able to keep Jason Garrett, but then simultaneously try to catch the wave of what's happening in the NFL with offenses in general in an effort to try to get the most out of Dak Prescott. And so I'm going to go over here because I think Kellen Moore is going to open some eyes and turn some heads. I think it's going to be really interesting to see where that offense goes with Kellen Moore in charge, because in college he played in one of these offenses at Boise. He's the son of a coach. He's got a lot of these things going where it's like you look at him and, okay, like, maybe this guy could be an offensive innovator and do things that are a little bit different and maybe open the door to get a little bit more out of Dak Prescott than Scott Linehan did the last couple of years.
I'll just say, interesting.
Okay. this is another one that seemed low to me. The Eagles, 9.5. That maybe I think too highly of the Eagles, but this one seemed low to me too. What do you guys think?
I am also going to take the over. I think the Eagles have one of the best, most complete rosters in the NFL. I mean, a lot, of course, here hinges on Carson Wentz staying healthy, because now they don't have Foles as the, you know, insert here, zero drop-off backup, right? Yeah. But if you think that Wentz is going to stay healthy, which obviously the Eagles do because they extended him this offseason, then I think you could see that they would easily exceed that win total.
Yeah, I'm going over too. I had to be actually talked out of. I reached out to someone who covers the Eagles when I was doing ranking the best running back backfields in the league, and I wanted to put the Eagles second in the entire NFL, and I was talked out of that and said that was a little crazy, that I'm a little too high on this group. But I think they've just got an incredibly deep backfield. They still have a good offensive line. This is a good team.
I think they're deep all over the place, guys. Like, it kind of, so discussion I had with Joe Douglas about leaving Philly, and one of the things he said was, like, it was tough because I knew how good the Eagles were going to be. And he said it's the deepest team he's ever been around. Now, this is a guy who spent all those years with the Ravens, was there when they won the Super Bowl in 17. And so for him to talk about the roster that way just leapt off the page at me. And so, I don't know. I think they're one of these teams that right now is, even with the quarterback now signed long-term, they're still sort of riding that sweet spot where you're able to stock a couple positions that maybe you wouldn't be able to otherwise because you've got a young quarterback. I think that this is probably a 12-win team if everybody stays healthy. That's a big if, of course, because the quarterback's part of that if. But if they stay healthy, I think it's probably a 12-win team, NFC's champions, and a real Super Bowl contender.
Agreed.
All right. This is the one Connor's been waiting for. The Oakland Raiders, their final year in Oakland, 6.5. What do you guys got?
Give me the over. Come on.
Wow. What? That's a surprise.
Give me the over on Johnny Gruden. 8 wins. 8-8.
What is happening? Which way is up? I don't know. What can we count on in this life?
I think they're going to be marginally better. I don't think
that was
they
a
could,
real curveball, Connor.
I don't think they can get worse than they were last year.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to go with the under. I'm gonna say they're a 5 or 6 win team.
You feel like an implosion 5 or 6, or like or just a bland brand of football all around.
Bland brand of football.
Okay.
Jenny, yeah. that was a legitimate curveball from Connor.
I don't know what to think of this. I'm reeling here.
John, I'm back. You got me. I'm back in.
Are
I'm
you
ready
going
to go.
Under, Jenny?
Yeah, I'm going under. Yeah, 5 or 6 wins, I think. That's my
I'm
going
to go under too for because of the environment they're in, because of the division they're in.
Yeah, the division.
I think
tough.
They've got two of the best teams in the NFL in their division, in the Chiefs and the Chargers. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough to come by wins on their schedule. I think they're going to be better. I think John Gruden, for all of the political issues and the issues on the player acquisition side, all of that different stuff, I think he can still coach. And quietly, Derek Carr finished the season pretty strong last year. And so I'm going to go under, but I think it's a strong 6-10. How's that for fence riding?
That's pretty gross, but that's fine. We'll accept that. A strong 6. What is a strong 6-10?
A strong 6-10.
You
Connor
sound
is like
you sound like a coach
like
trying to keep
in
your
December,
job,
and they like rip off 3 straight wins. So everybody's really excited about it for next year.
6-10 is 6-10. That's what it is. Cut and dry.
You know what's a good example? The Niners were a strong 6-10 in 2017, right?
Well, that is like the rare case. I really can't wait to see what the Oakland Raiders message boards have to say about Connor Orr's projector screen for the area team. I think there's going to be a lot of surprise in the Bay Area.
I'm ready. I hope this goes straight to the top. I hope John knows that I'm ready to be a grinder. I'm back.
A grindor.
All right, we're going to stay right there in the NFC, in the AFC West. The Chiefs, this is the highest number we've had yet. It won't be the highest number on the board today, but this is the highest number we've had yet. The Chiefs at 10 wins. What do you guys got?
I will take the over, but I'm not confident in that. I do think it's very possible the Chiefs take a step back this season. I think, you know, another wild card is, and not to, you know, conflate the seriousness of the Hill situation with what happens with the team on the field. And it's always an awkward thing to sort of talk about those things together. But that would have a big impact if he were suspended for any period of time or put on the exempt list or whatever the resolution of this is. It's a different thing, right? Last year, they were this breakout team. Everything was fun. Everything was easy. I think the season after that is always a challenge for a young team. Sort of, how do you respond? And Mahomes is fantastic. He's a star. So that's not saying that he's going to take a step back. I just think, I don't know. I could see the team being not quite as good as they were last year.
Yeah, I'm going to begrudgingly take the over also, but like, man, like they're really putting you in sort of an arm lock with that 10 wins. That's tough. And I guess that's the point, right? I mean, I can't see this being a 9-win team, you know, with or without Tyreek Hill, but it's going to be interesting. I mean, that division is not getting any worse. And, you know, not that strength of schedule is something that you can really look at like it's a college team, but if you just take the win percentages of the teams on the Chiefs' schedule this year, they have they're tied for the 5th hardest schedule in the NFL going into this season. So,
yeah, and that's the part of it like that makes it tough.
So it's
because
I'm picking a soft 11-5, a soft 11-5.
You know the Ravens are on that schedule. You know the Texans are on that schedule. It's a first place schedule. And I'm with you, Connor. Like you said, that's the point. Is Vegas is trying to make it hard on you, and they make this hard on you because it's really, really hard to see them. Put it this way, I'm gonna go over because it's far easier for me to see them winning 11 games than it is for me to see them winning 9. That said, there are issues. I mean, you look at them defensively, all right, like now they've got both their edge rushers from last year. Dee Ford and Justin Houston are gone. New defensive coordinator and Steve Spagnuolo. They've overhauled their secondary, bringing in Tyrann Mathieu. Eric Berry's gone, and I know he wasn't around for a ton of last year, but he did have a presence in the locker room. And obviously you've got like the Tyreek Hill situation, which is way more serious than football, but is going to have an impact one way or another on the season. I don't know, guys. Like, it just feels to me like there's a lot going on there.
I agree.
Yeah, and you know, if you look back historically at Steve Spagnuolo taking over defenses, it's either gone really well or really, really not well. You know what I mean? Like, it is a departure, especially the way that he installs coverages, and there are secondaries that really take to it, and there are people that describe it as one of the worst defenses that they've ever played in. So, I mean, I think that's going to be a really interesting sort of subplot for their season this year.
All right, next up we have one of the teams that I think is going to be like a very popular pick to make it to Miami for Super Bowl 54, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. The over-under total here is 9.5. Remember, this is a team, I believe they were 1-5 at one point last year, wound up getting red hot. Andrew Luck plays really well down the stretch. They have first-team All-Pros as rookies on both sides of the ball, and Darius Leonard on defense and Quentin Nelson on offense. The number here is 9.5. Am I missing something? They should be over 9.5, right?
I mean, I don't know. I'll take the over, but I wouldn't say it would be much over. I would say I could see them as a 10-win team, but I don't think that's a given.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not like, as high on them, Connor?
No, but and I think the other reason why is I think that division especially is going to be prickly this year. I mean, because if you think about it, there's no bad team theoretically in that division. The Jaguars got much better. The Titans are still going to be hard to beat. So I don't know. I don't think that they're going to be able to coast as much. They won't have a break like they did last year with Jacksonville sort of imploding the way that they did. I'm still going to take the over, but like again, a soft 10-6.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that organization is doing a lot of things right now.
They could legitimately start the season 0-3. Chargers, Titans. What'd you say? They could legitimately start the season 0-3. Chargers, Titans, Falcons. I mean, that is a really, and then, you know, you get a break obviously playing the Raiders, but then Chiefs Chiefs, Colts, and then you know, then you have the Broncos, but then the Steelers. I mean, they have a kind of a wicked beginning of that schedule, you know.
I like that side swipe of the Raiders there too. You just threw away all the goodwill that you got that you got from giving them the over on 6.5 wins.
That's right.
All right, we're gonna stay there in the AFC South now. The Jaguars, and this is another one that this is tough. Like, I feel like this is right where the number is right where it should be. The number for the Jaguars is 8. What do you guys got?
I will take the under. I think they did get better, but I think last year sort of exposed some of the flaws on the team. And obviously Blake Bortles, you know, they've subbed him out for Nick Foles, but I don't know. I don't see this being a playoffs team next year.
I will take the over, but not much over. I think this division is going to logjam a little bit, like a little bit like maybe the NFC East. Yeah, and I think that they have some of the ingredients to win crappy games like that. You know, this is, you know, I think I wrote this recently, like so much of that depends on your opinion of Leonard Fournette and where you think he's going to go. And I think right now it's hard to project him as an ascending player, but you never know. I mean, if they can get one more good season out of him, like even like a 1,200-yard season, I think that they're going to be a good football team.
What do you guys think of Nick Foles, like now entrenched as a starting quarterback?
My hot take on this situation is that I think that I like Nick Foles in Jacksonville. However, I keep going back to his two best seasons, which you could argue were the Super Bowl season and then that insane season under Chip Kelly. And both times that he had really good years, he was with sort of this, sort of a generational, whatever, idea schematically. Like, no one was prepared to stop what Chip Kelly was running at the beginning of his career, and teams were scrambling, much like they were scrambling to catch up with what Doug Peterson and Frank Reich and all those guys were doing with RPO stuff, a lot of the stuff that they had borrowed from college. And I think both times he was able to ride that wave a little bit, and not saying that he's a bad quarterback. I think he's still a very capable quarterback, but I'm going to be interested to see him again in a situation where it all hinges on him and he's not going to necessarily have the same creativity offensively surrounding him.
And, you know, obviously in Philadelphia, his teammates really rallied around him. So he brings that to a locker room that was in revolt last year against their quarterback, right? Whereas in Philadelphia, they had the shrine to St. Nick, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I mean, it was more than just the fact that he, like, led them to the Super Bowl, right? He just became this beloved locker room figure. So I think that that brings something to Jacksonville that they lacked. And he also had this partnership with DeFilippo, and so he gets to have some continuity there from his time in Philadelphia. I'm just not ready to go all in on this as being a 10-win team because I just don't know. We haven't seen the full season in a while, right?
I think Nick is one of these quarterbacks where everything has to be going right around him. And that means coaching. That also means the talent around him, good players around him. And, you know, that first year in Philly, he had DeSean Jackson at the top of his game. He had Shady McCoy, who maybe the best year of his career. And, you know, down the stretch in 2017, Alshon Jeffrey and, you know, a good deep backfield and the tight ends and Ertz. And Selleck, like, there was just they had a lot going on and a lot going right, and, like, that's the other, like, I think Jacksonville's defense is gonna be really, really good again, but I offensively, do they have enough going right where Nick Foles can just go out there and play point guard? Because that's when I think he's at his best, and I'm not sure that right now as it stands they do. Okay, elsewhere, our last AFC South team on this list. A team that's been through a lot over the course of the last month, the Houston Texans, 8.5 wins. What do you guys have?
I'll go over. Although I do think, you know, the offseason chaos this year, I think oftentimes that takes a little bit more of a toll on players than it might seem. But, you know, I think Watson having another year removed from the ACL tear and, you know, Watt being another year removed from his catastrophic leg injury, you know, I think there are a lot of reasons to think that they will be, you know, a little bit better than last year.
I'm going under. I think we're going to see a little Texans dip. And then Billy O'Brien and the GM and Billy O'Brien, the coach, are going to have a little conference, I think.
Is that the GM being Bill O'Brien then too?
Isn't he he's the acting GM, right?
Well, he's not, but, like, in effect, he doesn't have that title, but I think effect he is. So he'd have a meeting with himself.
That's right.
They'd have a long sit down, and we'll see who comes out on top. You know.
You know what's interesting about it though, guys, is, like, if this doesn't go well, like, will he have the power to bring in Nick Caserio next year? You know, like, will he have the power? Like, that's where I think missing on Caserio now could wind up affecting them next year. Because will the owner still be on board with the idea of bringing in Billy's guy as GM if it doesn't go well over the next 6 months?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think that it was in Caserio's best interest that he wasn't hired this year, because who knows where things are going to be at in the year, right? And it could have been total chaos. He could have been plunged into a situation where he basically has very little shape of the roster that's playing out there this season, right? Had very little impact. And then things could be in total chaos, you know, what, 8 months after he was hired.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to take the over. I'm going to take a slight over. I think the division, like you guys said, is pretty good, pretty balanced. So I think they'll be right at, like, 9-7. I believe in the quarterback. The quarterback hasn't been – I mean, I think in his life the quarterback hasn't been around very many losing situations. Deshaun Watson's just one of those guys that sort of finds a way. And I know that that's, like there's not a ton of logic behind that thinking, but he's just one of these guys. He hasn't been on a lot of losing teams in his life. And so I think – I think they find a way to get in. They find a way to get into and stay in the playoff race till the very end. All right, over to the AFC North now. The Bengals, 6 wins. Zach Taylor's first year. Andy Dalton's job's on the line. AJ Green's in a contract year. What do you guys think?
Connor's rearing to go on this one.
Over. I am buying low on the Bengals, and I love it. I'm taking it over 1,000 times.
Wow.
Yeah, they were ranked.
That's strong.
Later this week, we're going to have a post up. Worst to first candidates or teams that had a losing record last year have a chance to make the playoffs this year. And I'm high very much on both the Bengals and the Giants. I think both of those teams are going to do it. Big ups to Zach Taylor.
I'm going to go with under. Sorry to burst the Bengals bubble here, Connor. I'm not sure. I don't know if Zach Taylor will be successful or not. I don't have enough intel there, right? I don't. We haven't really seen him operate on his own in this kind of situation. So I think it's all a projection.
For sure.
And, you know, I could see them having a not great season and moving on from Andy Dalton. That would be my projection.
Can I explain my work?
Yes.
Can I show my work
yes.
here?
Yes. All right. Partial credit for showing your work.
Steelers are obvious, sort of the team in flux there. You know, losing their best offensive player, I think, is obvious. Baltimore Ravens changing up that playbook on Lamar Jackson. I don't know if that's a great idea after, you know, the way that they finished last year.
A bad harbinger of things to come.
Yes.
Which sounds similar to Harbaugh.
And then the Browns, I mean, I put them on my worst to first list, too. I mean, they were 7-9-1 last year, so it's not really a giant leap to say that they could finish with a winning record. But that place is also a potential powder keg. So while, you know, they could end up like the Rams, where you're stacking all this talent and putting it on the shoulders of a young rookie quarterback, they could also end up like any of the other myriad teams that have spent lavishly in free agency and gotten burned for it.
So you're betting on like a mass AFC North implosion propelling the Bengals into contention.
I think anyone that knows me feels like I regularly bet on complete chaos.
There was an earthquake in Cleveland recently, right?
See? That's what I'm saying.
Another harbinger.
All right. I'm gonna take the under here.
Wow. Really?
I think this is another one where Vegas gets the number right. I think 6 is about right. Like, I think that they're going to be competitive. I think they'll get better over the course of the year. History has told us that that guys who come from that tree wind up getting the most out of the quarterback, and I think that they will get a little bit more out of Andy Dalton than the Bengals have gotten the last couple of years. Here's the one thing that makes me think that Connor might be right and that they might be in contention. The biggest difference from the 2011 to 15 Bengals to the 2016 to 18 Bengals actually was the condition of the offensive line, and losing guys like Kevin Zeitler and Andrew Whitworth really hurt them. And the last couple off seasons, they've started to stock back up. They drafted Billy Price in the first round. They traded for Cordy Glenn. Now they've drafted Jonah Williams. It just, that part of it, like that they've fixed what was wrong with the team the last 3 years, tells me that I do believe they're going to be a little bit more competitive than people think, and maybe getting close to what they were a few years ago. But I think it's a tough division. I don't think the rest of the division is going to implode. I'm not on board with that, Connor. I think Pittsburgh's still going to be good. Baltimore, I think, is going to be competitive, maybe not what they were last year. And then the Browns, I'm buying on Freddie Kitchens. I think Freddie Kitchens is going to find a way to make that work. All right. Over in the NFC South, we're going to wrap up with two NFC South teams. The first one's the New Orleans Saints. And this is a high number. This is our highest number on the board today. New Orleans Saints, 10.5 wins. Now, to put that in context, guys, that is among all NFL teams, that is the second highest number on the board. Behind the New England Patriots. So the New Orleans Saints, 10.5 wins. What do you guys got?
Under. I could see this team taking a big step back. Just the hangover from last season. Drew Brees is getting older. We saw that toward the end of last season. They had some key losses this offseason. Mark Ingram. I don't feel good about this team in 2019.
Under. Sell. That's all I got there.
Okay, so I'm going to give you guys the case for buying. Now, I will say the one thing that this hinges on is that we see the Drew Brees that we saw for the first 3 months of last year. That, like, you know, the dip at the end of the year, that wasn't age. If it is, then we're talking about something completely different. I love the young talent on the team. And you've got Mike Thomas, who had a big third year. And I think you're going to see the same sort of big third year from that great rookie class of 2017 with Marshawn Lattimore, who, you know, slumped last year, but I think has a chance to be one of the best corners in the league. Marcus Williams, who obviously gave up the big play 2 years ago, I think has a chance to be one of the best safeties in the league. And then on offense, Ryan Ramczyk and Alvin Kamara. I really like the young talent on that team. And so if they can just hang on with Drew Brees, if Drew Brees can just find a way to put together another year like we're accustomed to seeing from him, I think it's a very real Super Bowl contender. So I'm going to take the over. And finally, we'll stay right there in the NFC South. The Panthers, this one seems low to me, 7.5.
I think it's because of Cam Newton's shoulder.
Yep.
And so I'm having a hard time picking this one because we don't know truly what's going to happen there, right? We don't mm-hmm. know if when it comes to games, if he's going to be fine or if it's going to be one of these lingering things like the Luck situation. So I feel like it's low because of that. And I'm sort of stuck. I mean, I liked a lot of the things they did in the offseason. You know, pass rush was obviously a big need. That was something they addressed. I'm going to go with the under because of the shoulder injury.
Yeah, I would have almost two completely different answers based on the outlook of Cam Newton's shoulder. I mean, this was a team that heading into last season, I picked in our preseason poll to win the Super Bowl. I mean, I thought that they, like, their offense was going to be that fun and that talented. You know, I think Christian McCaffrey's obviously in line for another tremendous season, but beyond that, it's so hard to pin down. I mean, I could see this being an under, and then really radically seeing a different facade on the Panthers than we've seen in the last decade. If a new owner decides that changes need to be made,
Connor. But like, didn't we saw that offense the first 2 months of last year, right?
Yeah, I know. It's just I just like
everything you were talking about. Like we thought I feel like we did see it.
I totally agree.
I think we've seen what it can be. I'm with you guys. Like quarterback shoulders, it's hard to be 100% on everything. And he's had his shoulder done twice now. And so, you know, they're saying the right things, you know, and I think that they've done all the right things as far as like ramping him up conservatively and getting him ready for the season and everything else. But I'm with you guys. Like this is, I think if Newton's healthy, this can be a 12-1 team. I'm just not positive that Newton can stay healthy, you know? And I think this is sort of like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger went through this when Todd Haley got there. And I think Norv's sort of this in the same role there in Carolina where Todd Haley had to teach Ben Roethlisberger to get rid of the ball quicker, to let the guys around him make plays for him, to not gamble quite as much, not hold the ball quite as much, play point guard a little bit more. And so I think a lot's going to hinge on Norv's ability to get through to Cam on that because he does. Like I do think Cam has really good skill talent around him now.
Yeah, that's a tough one because you're right. If this was 2015, 16 Cam, I agree. This is a really good roster and peaking all kind of at the right time, right? Guys that are veterans but not too old. You know, and they did get younger in some spots they needed to get younger at. So, yeah, but it's too hard to bet on.
Okay, cool. All right. You guys going away the next couple weeks?
No. Just, you know, laying low.
Yes, laying low is a good way to put it.
All right.
Yeah.
So nothing exciting there. All right. Well, I'm not sure if we're going to go on sabbatical or not. We're going to keep the podcast listeners updated on that, but I appreciate you guys coming out. All right, we'll jump right into the six-pack. You guys know how this works. Every week, I put the call out for questions on Twitter. I pick six. If I pick yours, you get a like. That means I hit that little heart there on Twitter. And you get an answer here on the podcast. Question number one from Bobby Gatewood. That's at BobbyG815. Do you think Michael Thomas deserves to be the highest paid receiver in the NFL? The answer to that question is yes. I do think he deserves that. That doesn't mean he's the best receiver in the league. You don't need to be the best player at your position to be the highest paid player at your position. You just need to be in the top cluster. That's where Demaryius Thomas was, where Dez Bryant was, where Julio Jones was, where A.J. Green was when all of those guys got paid. And I think Michael Thomas is absolutely in that category. What's interesting about this one, the Saints have never paid a skill position player, one of the skill position players around Drew Brees, more than $10 million per year. Jimmy Graham was the highest paid one of them, and he was right on the nose, right at $10 million per year. You might have to pay Mike Thomas double that to keep him. Question number two from Blondie, that's at Blondie6332. Can the Cardinals legitimately compete for a wild card spot? Let me first say that I think the Cardinals are going to be tough to deal with early in the year. You're going to have like a 2012 Redskins, 2013 Eagles effect to what they do, I think. What does that mean? Well, that means they're going to be doing some things the NFL hasn't seen and within a pro football context before. They've got a quarterback to execute who's got experience having worked in systems like that, in Kyler Murray, who's incredibly athletic. So I think that the Cardinals have a chance to get off to a really fast start. Here's the problem. The NFC is sort of loaded, right? Dallas and Philly in the East, I think both those teams have a chance to get back to the playoffs. You got the Bears coming back as the defending champs in the North with the Vikings and Packers right there. The Vikings, I think, are one of the most talented rosters in the league still. The Packers can't be counted out as long as Aaron Rodgers is there. So now you're already up to five teams. The NFC South, you've got the Saints, you've got the Falcons, you've got the Panthers. You've got the Saints, who've won the division the last couple of years, went to the NFC title game the last year, and the Falcons and Panthers both have been in Super Bowls relatively recently. Now you're up to eight teams, okay? And then once you get to the Cardinals division, you've got two teams coming back in the Rams and Seahawks who have had sustained success over the last few years. Now we're all the way up to 10 teams. We haven't even talked about teams, you know, like the Niners, like who like are intriguing in certain ways. The Lions, I think, actually have a shot to compete. It's going to be tough to make the playoffs in the NFC. And so I think the Cardinals are intriguing. I think they'll make progress this year. I don't think they're a playoff team in 2019. Question number three from Miggy Suggs. That's at S-Q-U-O-C-K-L-I-N. Does Trubisky have what it takes to eventually be a franchise quarterback? I think it depends on how you define franchise quarterback. I don't know that he's ever going to be a top five in the league quarterback. I think he's going to be the type of quarterback where if a lot of things are right around him, you can win with him. All right, so there's two different types of quarterbacks when it comes to established starters in the NFL, guys who are the long-term answers for their teams. One is the kind of guy who can lift everybody up around him, and it almost doesn't matter what you put around him. There aren't very many guys like that. That's Brady. That's Peyton Manning in his prime. That's Aaron Rodgers. I think that's Andrew Luck. There aren't very many quarterbacks like that. Then you've got a much larger category of guys who are good enough, who can make it work when you've got a lot of things going right around them. And I think that that's where Mitch Trubisky can get to. I love the fact that Matt Nagy's there in year two. They should make progress from a quarterback coach standpoint. My expectation is that they're going to be pretty good again this year. I think Mitch Trubisky's going to make strides. I don't think he's ever going to be a top five in the NFL guy, but you know, I think that there is a chance for him to be a, you know, a legitimate long-term answer at the position, which, you know, I mean, look, you could be in a much worse position than that. Question number four from Craig Ginsburg. That's at Craig Adam G. Best guess for when Jones will start for the Giants. Let's hit the over-under at Thanksgiving. I still think the Giants are in the midst of a rebuild, and I don't think they're ready to compete for the playoffs quite yet. And I think what happens with all of these teams is you get to the end of the season and the quarterback that you're redshirting is making progress and getting better and clearly ready to play, and you want to get the guy's feet wet before year two. You also want to get a good idea of what you have in the quarterback so you can build around him effectively going into year two. And so I think the Giants will eventually get to that point. That's why I'm saying around Thanksgiving. Look, the fact is guys just don't get redshirted unless the teams are contenders, right? It's only happened twice this decade where we've had true redshirts. One was in Tennessee in 2011 with Jake Locker. That team, that Tennessee-type team, competed for a playoff spot right till the end of the season. And then the other example was the 2017 Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. They wound up winning their division and going to the playoffs. And so I don't think right now that the Giants are going to make the playoffs. And if they don't make the playoffs, history tells us Daniel Jones will get his shot to play. Question number five from Brett TTA. That's at Jaeger Riggs Mug 77. Will Aaron Rodgers try to sabotage his new coach by changing plays in the huddle? Brett, I don't think he's going to try to sabotage his new coach, but I do think there's some challenging things that they're working through right now. You can check out details on that in the MMQB. But simply put, this is a coach who comes from a lineage where the philosophy is to make things simple on the quarterback, take things off the quarterback's plate. So they send double calls into the huddle and give the quarterback a read. You do this play, you do this if this happens, you do that if that happens, to try to safeguard everything around him. You put the protection calls on the center so the quarterback can get out there and play a little bit faster. On the flip side, Aaron Rodgers has been used to having total control of everything going on out there, having the autonomy to change the play whenever he wanted. It's going to be hard to marry those two things. And what they're going to do is they're going to put in some of the tenets of Matt LaFleur's system and give Aaron Rodgers veto power. So I think there's some challenge in working things out. I think what this is going to come down to is the personal relationship between Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. If they can build trust, I think this can be in a very, very effective system for Aaron Rodgers. But they have to find a way to develop trust. Finally, question number six, the final question for this week from Philly Fanatic. That's at Fawn KY Donkey. What teams do Mariota and Winston play for in 2021 after a potential franchise tag in 2020? Well, I would tell you that I think both teams, and I wrote on this week in the column, I think chances are both the Bucs and Titans have those guys back on their rosters in 2020. I think there's a good chance it's on the franchise tag, like you said. I think it's complicated doing it that way, though, because of the potential lockout in 2021. Why does that complicate things? Well, if you've got both those guys going into the new league year and they're not under contract and you're in a lockout, then you're dealing with a lot of uncertainty as far as your planning goes for that season. And so this one's going to be very, very tricky. The Cincinnati Bengals were in a situation similar to this in 2011. Carson Palmer retired unexpectedly. They didn't have a starting quarterback on their roster. They went into the 11 draft, not only having to find a quarterback, but having to find a starting quarterback. That's when they wound up with Andy Dalton. And so I think ideally Mariota and Winston, you figure out where they're at and get a hard yes or a hard no in 2019. But, you know, as we all know, there are shades of gray with all of this. And so I think there is a chance they both could be on the franchise tag in 2020, especially because it doesn't look like either team has an answer behind them. All right, and that'll do it for this week and for the next few weeks for me, at least. I'm headed off to Nantucket. I'm not positive how we're going to work this over the next couple of weeks. We may be going on sabbatical. They could have somebody subbing in for me. We'll figure all of that out, and I'll keep you posted on social media. But as always, going into 2019, and we'll be full bore ahead once camp starts in a few weeks, I want all your feedback. I want to know what we can do to make this a better experience for you. You can get me on my Twitter page with that, at Albert Breer, on my Facebook page, at Albert R. Breer, on my Instagram, at Albert_Breer. And you can get us and all the other MMQB podcasts, the Bad Movies podcast, the Monday Morning Podcast with Gary and Andy on one feed now, the MMQB NFL podcast. You can find us on Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, wherever you guys get your shows. Same time in a few weeks, I think. We'll see you guys then.